Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you late night. It is a busy season for us here at Right on Rangers, y'all, just grinding out a ton of different things. And you know what? We're always going to make time for a little post-game analysis, especially after games like tonight. What a great set of games that was in that doubleheader. You know what? Even if it's against the White Sox, at this point, I think we'll take it. We'll take it. The Rangers getting a couple of close wins against the worst team in baseball. You know what? With the season that the Rangers have had, like I said, I'm going to go ahead and just be happy about the win. Let me go ahead and get into everything here in just a little bit. We're going to go through the scoring, the key moments. We're going to highlight players from each game, from game one and game two. We're, of course, going to tell you about the heroes of each game, respectively, go through the box score, do all that fun stuff, preview the final game of the series tomorrow, and we'll start previewing the weekend series as well that the Rangers have coming up. Here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers and especially the Rangers during baseball season. We're going to be kicking off with some college football this weekend, going live after every Texas Longhorns game. We'll also be going live after every Dallas Cowboys game as well here in a couple of weeks. So if you're a fan of DFW sports particularly and in general, please join us this fall. A lot of good stuff coming up at Right on Rangers besides talking Texas Rangers baseball. And it is a good day to be a Texas Rangers fan. What a great day for us collectively. Some crazy moments. You know what? A part of me wanted to go, you know, through each game and kind of do the chronological order thing. I think we got to start with the Travis Jankowski robbery. We can go back to game one, but I think we have to start with the Travis Jankowski robbery. What an incredible play that was. I can't say, I mean, I can remember in recent memory, Leody robbing Alvarez, perhaps. Maybe you go Leody robbing Yordan Alvarez in the playoffs. That was an incredible catch. I don't even know what StatCast had to say about that hit, but that was not one of those, you made a little leap at the wall and, you know, you made it look like you robbed one, but you really didn't. That was a bona fide, you're not going to get that. You're not going to have any chance to get that unless you make an incredible otherworldly play, and that is what Jankowski did. He made it look easy. The timing of that play at the wall is just so difficult. If you played the game, you know what I mean. It's one thing when you get to wait at the wall and you get to just jump up straight up in the air, maybe a little bit of a touch on the wall to make a play like that. That was Jankowski drifting back all in one motion almost, and then making a fully outstretched arm play on that baseball. That was one of the best outfielder plays I've seen this season in Major League Baseball. It was an incredible catch and a game-saving catch, like one of the most clutch catches that you will ever see. I mean, that's bottom of the ninth, the game-winning run on base. The White Sox win that game if Travis Jankowski does not make that play. It doesn't get any more clutch than that. And clutch is something that the Rangers have been searching for this season. They've got it a few different ways sprinkled in here and there, but clutch is something the Rangers have been lacking. They have not been a clutch team a majority of this year, at the plate especially. I can't say they've had a lot of moments at the end of games to be clutch defensively. In fact, the one that sticks out in my mind right now is the Wyatt Langford play at Fenway, right, where you needed a clutch throw from him. And instead, you got a ball that got thrown 10 feet over Jonah Heim's head. Of course, Wyatt hits the game-tying three-run bomb right after that. But I just can't even imagine just the disappointment if Jenko doesn't make that play. I mean, El Blondi saved that game. And you know what? Who cares what the Rangers do the rest of the way in terms of their playoff hopes? Can we just have some fun games, some epic moments like this? Like, that's all I'm asking for. Can we have some epic, crazy, fun moments to celebrate as fans? And this is exactly that. This is exactly what I was talking about a couple of days ago. Can we just have a good month here to end the season with some great moments that the fans and the team can be proud of? Can we get guys playing better going into 2025 into this offseason. And I would say, look, regardless of the fact that it's the White Sox, you're doing your job. You got two wins. You won the series today. That's huge. You won the series today against the White Sox. Not something the Rangers have done a lot of since the All-Star break. What is this, the third series win since the All-Star break? Something like that. It's not a lot. So to get a win, a series win, huge today. Absolutely huge. And tomorrow, you get an opportunity to go out and take the whole thing. You end up gaining a half game in the division. Not that the division really is something super attainable at this point, but nevertheless, Astros did get kicked around by the Phillies a little bit. So you do end up gaining a little bit of ground tonight. And I think that's a positive. Look, it would take something really, really special for the Rangers to somehow make it to October. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we have to start preparing ourselves for the offseason to start right away in October for the Texas Rangers, which sucks to say out loud. But again, can we just finish on some positive notes here? Could we get back to 500? That for me, I think, is a huge goal that you could attain at this point. Could you get back to 500, maybe even finish with a winning record? That is a possibility. You got to play great baseball to make it happen. But could we just finish 500 and be respectable to end the season and not be one of those history book teams? Yep, they won the World Series and they had the worst record for a World Series defending champ. You know what I mean? Like the Red Sox back in 2014, right? Red Sox beat the Cardinals, I believe, in 2013 in the World Series. And then the next year they came out and were absolutely terrible. I think they were 20 games under 500. Red Sox in 2014, after winning the World Series, were 71 and 91. Like, could we just not be in that class? That's what I'd like to see. Could we not be anywhere close to that? So for the Rangers to just finish this season strong, that's all we're asking for as fans. September call-up should be fun. Getting a few guys from the farm, playing up a little bit, seeing what they got. You get to do a little bit of evaluating before the offseason starts so you can kind of start game planning. Who are we going to be able to have on the big league roster in 25? What areas are we going to need to fill because those guys maybe aren't quite ready yet, or vice versa? Hey, we don't need to fill this area because we had some dudes in the minor league that showed out when they got a chance in September. So there's a lot of great storylines. I mean, if you're just all about winning all the time, I mean, I get it, and I'm disappointed too. We're probably not going to be playing October baseball. But as a fan, I think there's still a lot to be excited about with the Rangers. And let me go ahead and just get back to comments here and double check a couple of things. So, yeah, Tristan, same. Saturday's going to be awesome. Get some Longhorns football going. Dallas Cowboys in a couple of weeks here. It's going to be great. We're going to go live after every game this season, kind of in the same style that we do for Ride on Rangers for the Texas Rangers. So we'll do Ride on Rangers, Longhorns edition, Cowboys edition, all that good stuff. Hey, look, I take it as such a compliment when I get Houston fans coming into this live. Just keep on coming. I don't even know why you'd bother showing up after that embarrassment of an ALCS, though. Come on, bro. The ALCS last year, y'all freaking blew it. Do we really need to bring that back up? I mean, I'm happy to do it. Every time a Houston Astros fan comes into this live, I couldn't be happier because I get to relive the complete spanking that was given to you guys in the ALCS last year. Had two opportunities at home. Couldn't win a game at home. My goodness. And that's really all that needs to be said. People say fluke season, all they want. We've gone over this so many times. There was nothing fluky about the Rangers rolling through the hardest road to the World Series in baseball last year. Yeah. Thank you. Swept by the Yanks. The Astros are definitely going to be a playoff team, and I give respect to them. The Astros are a good team. I'm not sitting here saying the Astros suck. They don't. They're a good team. Do I think they're going to win the World Series? No. I think there's way too many good teams. The Phillies are clobbering the Astros. I know the Astros won 10-0 today. Phillies yesterday won 5-0. On Monday, Phillies won 3-2 in extras. Look, and we're not even talking about the American League teams that the Astros have to roll through with, what, Justin Verlander is probably their best pitcher? Come on now. Anyways, let's stay focused, huh? Let's stay focused. How about Urania pitching for four innings, a shutout ball? He was definitely, John, one of my players of the game. Leiter, I don't want to be negative. I really don't want to be negative tonight. This is such a great day to be a Rangers fan when you double up on a doubleheader. I don't want to be overly negative. But Leiter, I'm just still not there with the guy yet. And look, I thought this was a really great spot for Leiter to come in and get some solid innings against the worst team in baseball. I know he got some swings and misses today, got some whiffs, but I'm not feeling great about Jack Leiter. I'm just not. Four innings, what, a couple of earned runs. I really felt like this was a day for him to go out and dominate. And when I say dominate, quality start, five innings, couple of runs, six innings, three runs. I thought this was a great opportunity for Leiter. I can't say I walked away feeling a lot better about him. I really think in September, they do need to enact that plan. Move him to the bullpen. Give him one or two innings here or there. Just get his feet wet. Get some success against major league hitters. Acclimate him a little bit better to the big leagues. Right now, he's kind of on that quadruple A track, dominating in triple A. Looks great. And then you get to the majors, and it's just like something's not right. Something's missing. So I don't want to be negative. I did want to talk a little bit about the Leiter start today, his third start in the majors. I do think Chris Young had it right when they interviewed him a couple weeks ago. Let's get Leiter some pen time. Hopefully in short bursts, he can really gas that fastball, which it's live. That fastball is live. It plays. But I think Leiter has got to have some positive outings. Right now, the length, the starting pitcher role, the length that he has to give in these games, it might be working against him a little bit. I think perhaps in a short stint, one inning, two innings, he could be dangerous. That fastball is a major league fastball. I like what I'm seeing there. He does have some good off-speed stuff too. You're just not seeing him put it all together yet. So we'll see. But Urania, go back to the comment that I have up right now. Urania has to be the player of the game from a pitching perspective. From a pitching perspective, Wyatt Langford, obviously the three-run bomb, huge, absolutely huge game-winning RBI there for Wyatt Langford. But from a pitching standpoint, Urania, four innings, no earned runs, incredible. And Aaron, I'm going to skip around. I know you got a few comments mixed in there. But hey, Heen Dog, I am going to miss him next year. I can't see us re-signing Heen Dog. I would love for us to re-sign Heen Dog. I love Andrew Heaney. My goodness. Andrew Heaney, just incredible season for him. But the man needs to go get a big paycheck. And we got to be happy for him going to do that. The man needs to go get paid. I don't think the Rangers are going to be the team to do it. If they do, great. I would love to have Andrew Heaney back. But I think Andrew Heaney is going to go get a multi-year deal. And he's probably going to get overpaid somewhere by a mid-level team. Unless the dude just loves Texas. And he wants to say, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that Heen Dog's going to be back. I would love to be wrong, but look, I'm not particularly hopeful. I hope the Rangers open up the purse strings, loosen them up a little bit, bring some guys back, but it's going to be tough. It is going to be tough. Aaron, look, hey, I know that not every Rangers fan is a Longhorns or Cowboys fan. That's why we're going to keep things separate a little bit. If you ever do want to pop by and talk Rangers, I think I've said a number of different times, hey, if you want to talk Rangers and you see me on talking Cowboys or Longhorns, feel free to put something in the comments. I'll definitely talk about it. So we're going to be flexible, but we are going to do separate lives for each of the teams because I know we've got a lot of different interests across all the Texas sports. So no offense taken. It's all good. We'll do some Rangers off-season shows mixed in there. That's the plan right now, at least. We won't be going every day or anything like that. The off-season's too slow to do that. But maybe a weekly show or like a bi-weekly every couple of weeks, something like that. Or an emergency Rangers podcast if a big move has been made, that kind of thing. That's the plan. Aaron says, Leiter's best game was against the worst team in history. I don't read much into it except he still has no out pitch. That is the concern for me. You know, the fastball's live. The out pitch, like getting that guy with two strikes, getting a swing and miss, just a little bit lacking. 70 pitches, four innings, they're working you. They're working you. If you are at 70 pitches in four innings, you're getting worked. So the worst team in baseball, you really thought Leiter could probably come out today and have a five-inning outing, maybe give up one or two runs. We're talking the White Sox here. They do have some good hitters, but come on now. Come on now. It's the White Sox. They're losing over 100 games. Again, probably going to be, historically speaking, the worst team in baseball. I mean, Aaron was not – that's not hyperbole in Aaron's first sentence there. They are going to be the worst team in baseball, historically, record-wise, when all is said and done. And so you really did want Leiter to come out, have a great game, but this confirms to me they need to move him to the pen in September, give him some opportunities in a shorter stint, allow him to go 100% on some of his pitches, throw that fastball with a little more oomph, you know, turn over those curveballs a little bit harder, and we'll see what happens. Maybe it's going to be what gets him right, and I would love to see that going into 2025. So let me keep going here. John says, oh my goodness, the Rangers wasting a huge opportunity in the first inning again. Leiter being wild, 30 pitches in the first, nuts, control all over the place. Yeah, that first inning, y'all, that first inning, it was really frustrating to me as well. John, you know, I've been harping on this all year long, just the inability of the Rangers at times to get the knockout punch, right? The Wyatt Langford home run, clearly outstanding, awesome, we love it. Clutch, game-winning RBI, all those things, right? But some of these moments that the Rangers just miss out on, when you're playing the worst team in baseball, you can get away with it, but you can't waste these opportunities, right? You got first and third with one out. You get a Doley strikeout. Now there's two outs. Can't happen, by the way. First and third, one out with your freaking cleanup hitter up. Don't get me on a rant right now. I'm trying to stay positive here, John, but I'm just getting fired up now thinking back to this. It's so frustrating to me. The lack of what I would call productive ABs or productive outs when you have runners on base in scoring position with less than two outs. So Doley, first and third, dude, you got to drive the ball. Either right side or you got to hit that ball out there towards the track. You've got to have a productive out. Or you hit a ground ball in the gap somewhere and you leg it out, you find a way, you've got to drive in a run with first and third, one out. You can't swing and miss. At least put me in play. And that's the thing. Like, the strikeouts are just killers. I mean, look, the pop outs and the strikeouts with first and third, one out or no outs. And then you get the Nate Lowe walk, right? You get the Nate Lowe walk. And at that point, you get a Josh Jung flyout. And I do feel like Josh Jung just keeps getting in these situations. And Josh Jung is having a hard time producing. I feel bad for the guy. I really do. I feel bad for Josh Jung because I feel like he has really gotten some big opportunities since he's come back to really produce for this team, and I don't feel like he's been able to do it. He's hitting 185 in his last seven games. Josh Jung is 203 in his last 15. It's not pretty. He is putting the ball in play, so he's not striking out a ton. Like, he only has four strikeouts in seven games and 27 at-bats. That's decent. I'm glad he's putting the ball in play. But you just haven't seen Josh Jung heat up yet. And it feels like he keeps coming up in these types of moments, and it's just not happening. Now, the two-out RBI is no easy feat. So we're not sitting around saying, this is a piece of cake, Josh Jung, figure it out. But we are saying he has gotten multiple opportunities within the past week, 2 weeks, guys in scoring position with two outs, and it hasn't been happening for him. That's not to say you haven't seen him drive in any runs, but I think the numbers speak for themselves. Josh Jung is what, hitting pretty consistently, correct me if I'm wrong here, hitting pretty consistently in the middle of the order. So Josh Jung tonight was hitting, I believe, sixth. So look, you're hitting sixth. You're going to get opportunities to drive in runs. And Josh Jung over his last 15 games has two RBI. That's just not going to play for a five-hole, a six-hole hitter. So for me, Josh Jung, maybe it's just the injury, not getting a full season, but we haven't seen Josh Jung be himself yet. Yes, we saw a little bit of pop, some home runs over the past couple of weeks, but consistency, no. I haven't seen that yet from Jung, and I'm hoping that with a full offseason, staying injury-free, I do think Josh Jung is a great rebound type candidate. There's definitely players on the Rangers that have had worse seasons than him. So let's just be 100 on that and transparent. But Josh Jung hitting 246, that's a guy you're really hoping hits closer to 275 to 300. I mean, just based on where you drafted him, first round pick a few years ago, you really want to see Josh Jung hit a little closer to that 275, 300 clip, if at all possible. The glove, it's a great glove down there at third base, but we got to have that bat coming through in the clutch just a little bit more for Josh Jung. Now, let me keep rolling here. A few other comments that I think are worth getting. Seager did have a great day at the plate. I feel like if he's not getting the game-winning RBI, sometimes we kind of gloss over Corey just because he's so good and he's so good consistently all the time. But Corey Seager had 4 hits today. I mean, that dude is in a good way right now, doing Corey Seager things, as we like to say. Seager hitting 333 over his last 7, 306 over his last 15, 13 RBI in his last 15 games. In the nightcap, Seager doesn't – actually, he had 1 RBI, take that back. But look, the fact that Seager had 4 hits and only 1 RBI, I mean, to me, that kind of tells you a little something about where the Rangers are at right now with their offense still. I mean, you're only putting up a collective, 7 runs in 2 games against the White Sox? That's not ideal. We get the win, so we love that. Let's keep it positive, right? But it's not ideal when you're scoring only 3.5 runs a game against the worst team in baseball. So I will say this. I would love to see the offense come to life tomorrow in the rubber match. Can we just get a blowout? Can we get the Rangers just freaking killing it at the plate tomorrow? Do we have to play these little, you know, 1-run, 2-run games with the worst team in baseball? Y'all, we did this last time. We did this at Globe Life Field, playing these 1-run games against the White Sox. Look, I'm getting greedy, admittedly getting greedy, but can we just blow out the White Sox for freaking once? Come on now, please. All right. Let me keep going here. World Series prediction. I got a couple people asking me. I've addressed this a few different times, but I know I get new people in all the time. So we'll make this quick. My World Series prediction is Orioles-Dodgers. Orioles and Dodgers. I don't know if that's, you know, like blowing anybody's mind. Those are two really, really good teams. But Corbin Burnes with the Orioles, you got a bona fide number one. They did not have that last year. You've got a couple other guys, a couple other starting pitchers that I think are quality arms, and then you've got a deadly offense. I do think the Orioles, having gotten their butts kicked by the Rangers last year, are going to be hungry, very motivated. I think last year it was kind of like that. We made it. We won 100 games. This is freaking awesome. And then it was like, weren't really ready to go when the playoffs hit. I kind of felt a little, we're just happy to be there and get the 100-win season. And look, that's not like a deep analysis or anything. It's just my gut feeling. But I think the O's are going to be hungry when they get to October this year after getting swept by the Rangers with home field advantage. I think the O's are going to be hungry. And I do think that the Dodgers, once they get healthy, you've seen what Mookie Betts is doing coming back. Otani's Otani. You added Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty, I do think, can pitch well in the big games. You got Kershaw. I know his October track record is not great. I do think they're going to find a way to help him be effective, whether it's letting him only pitch a certain amount of innings. I do think that Walker Buehler, even though he's had a down year, he can figure it out at any moment. I just like the Dodgers and what they have going right now. So, look, I'm not saying I love either one of those teams. Don't take this the wrong way, but that is my pick. Let me keep going. Great play by Jankowski. We talked about that to open the show, so I know I've got some people that are probably joining us after the fact, but I led off with Jankowski, and I'm not going to go on and on about it, but clearly one of the best plays that I've ever seen an outfielder make. I think just because of the clutch factor, it's better than the Leody catch last year against Yordan. I think that's a better catch. I mean, I know Leody's is a little bit more full speed back, you know, but I think just the nature of if you don't make that catch, you lose. I think it's a better catch. So I'm going to go Jankowski over Leody. I know it was in the playoffs against the Astros, but that was in a losing effort. This one won you a game. I mean, seriously won you a game. Let me keep on rolling here. By the way, I'm going to go to some TikTok comments here. Has the Texas bullpen improved? I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to, but I will say this. The Texas bullpen has been outstanding when given a lead this year. They have struggled when it comes to keeping a deficit, like not from getting completely out of hand. But I do think that the Texas bullpen is better last year to this year, for sure. You get Yates, Robertson, all those guys. I definitely think it's a better bullpen. I don't know if that answers the question completely, but I'm just scrolling through TikTok here, y'all, making sure that I didn't miss anybody. Some of y'all were asking me, like, who are you? What are you looking at? So I got my computer straight ahead of me, and then I got my phone up here kind of mounted so I can get TikTok in the mix. So I know it seems like I'm talking to nobody, but I got my computer like with YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, everybody. And then I got TikTok going on my phone up here. So anyways, if you're ever like, why is this dude looking like off into the distance while he talks? TikTok, that's why. All right, y'all. Let me keep going here. Is it better than the Gary Matthews catch? I think here's my thought on this. I think that that catch, first of all, had an extreme amount of difficulty, the Jankowski catch. And the clutch factor, I think, makes it better than the Matthews catch. That's just me. That Matthews catch, I don't know the circumstances, the context of it offhand. That Matthews catch was incredible. Full speed, the elevation that Gary got on that leap, outstanding. Jankowski got up there pretty good too, though. I mean, did he not? He got up there pretty good. And that catch saved the game, right? That ball goes off his glove. He mistimes the jump. The game's over and the Rangers lose. I mean, that is just an incredibly clutch catch. I've got to put it above Gary Matthews from that standpoint when you just combine all the factors. Now, if you just put the two catches in a vacuum and you don't consider any of the context, the game situation, what inning it was, I do think that the Gary Matthews catch has a higher degree of difficulty, but I do give the Jankowski catch the edge because it saved the game, literally saved the game. It's not like that was in the eighth inning. Oh, that would have like put them up by two in the eighth. That was literally about to be a walk-off home run, right? So I think you got to go Jankowski catch over Matthews when you consider everything in a vacuum, just watching the two plays, you don't know anything. I think that people would probably give the nod to Matthews. I would, but feel free to argue with me. You can't really go wrong with either play, but I do think that I would give a slight edge to Jankowski. Aaron, I do remember this. I do remember that it did prevent a cycle. I still probably wouldn't put that up there with being more clutch than the Jankowski play. And I'm not saying that you're saying that, by the way, but I think give the slight nod to Janko. And, you know, if you want to argue Gary, then be my guest. I'm not going to go back and forth with anybody about that. I respect it if you think Gary's better. His catch was better, that is. John says that El Blondi catch was better than Matthews. I got to say, look, it's hard to go wrong either way, but you consider difficulty, context. I think Jankowski's catch a little bit better than the Matthews catch, but that's a tough one. Great debate, though. Love those kinds of debates. And Aaron, thanks for providing the context for that Gary Matthews play. It's coming back to me now, but just on the fly here on the live, was kind of blanking on who we were playing, what the situation was. Is cool that we prevented the cycle, though, especially from an Astros player, too. Absolutely. Now, as we go through, and I'm going to go to game one and just kind of peruse. We're going to do a real quick run through of game one because it is late, and I appreciate so much that y'all are hanging out late with us here. West Coast time, it's not too late yet, but it's getting there. So I appreciate you guys. I truly do. Thank you. We're going to try and go a little bit earlier on the live tomorrow. I think it's a day game tomorrow, so I promise I won't keep you up too late tomorrow night. But game one kind of went like this, right? We had the Rangers drawing first blood in the top of the first on a Doley double, and Doley had one RBI on the game. Simeon Seager came up with the other two. Simeon was 1-for-4. He had an RBI. Corey Seager, 6 total hits on the day. He was 2-for-5 in game one, 4-for-5 in game two. Corey Seager just doing Corey Seager things, and we absolutely love it. But Doley with the double in the first. And look, to the Rangers' credit, they did get the shutdown inning. Love to see that. They had a number of shutdown innings today. Good to see. White Sox tied it 1-1. Top of the seventh, we got a double from Simi to score Wyatt Langford. And then after that, Corey Seager comes up and pushes the lead to 3. The Rangers did leave 8 runners on in game one, but they were 3-for-8 with runners in scoring position, which is a very respectable average. So eight left on base. It could have been a little bit more lopsided. But then again, the White Sox left eight on base as well. They were 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. So I think you got to give some credit to the pitching in game one, 100%. Festa comes in, throws up a zero. The bullpen gave up no runs in game one. The bullpen went 4 innings, gave up 2 hits, and the bullpen had a combined 8 strikeouts in 4 innings. So Andrew Heaney is going to get a lot of love for his performance in game one, but the bullpen was on point in game one. 4 innings, 8 Ks, 1 walk. I mean, Festa, Leclerc, Robertson, Yates for the win. I mean, figuratively and literally, y'all, that was a great collective performance. You felt a little uneasy with Festa coming in, had a little bit of a rough outing last time out. And of course, we all got the Pepto ready when Leclerc comes on the mound. So I can't say I was feeling great when I saw Festa, Leclerc back to back. But I will say this, they did outstanding. You had Leclerc, of course, never a doubt. 2 hits given up, but ends up striking out the side, not consecutively, but Leclerc gets 3 Ks, but never a doubt with Jose, right? Never a doubt. 1 inning, 2 hits, got to have some base runners on. Wouldn't be a Leclerc outing without a couple base runners, but he gets out of it. And that is a little bit of his MO. You just have to have some really bad heartburn along the way, but you know what? He does find a way to get it done at times when he puts those base runners on. It's like some guys just need a little extra adrenaline, I guess. I'm good without the extra adrenaline, but Jose, that seems to be how he likes to operate. But Robertson and Yates come in, just 4 Ks between the two of them. Yates did have a walk in the 9th inning, but they go 2 innings, no hits, no runs, 4 Ks. Robertson and Yates, just outstanding. Love it. Love it. What's up, my people coming in TikTok, by the way? Yes, sir. Rangers, let's go. Winning a doubleheader and winning the series. You just can't beat it. You really can't. Garrett Crochet, I thought that was a little weird. He didn't come out and start today. That dude is just a little bit interesting to me. Crochet with the, you know, trade deadline drama that he was throwing out there. I'm not going to pitch for the postseason. All right, I'm on a pitch count or whatever. I'm sure y'all probably heard about that Garrett Crochet trade deadline drama. Just a little bit different how they handle him and operate with him. Kind of seems a little too dramatic to me, but Flexen came out, actually pitched pretty well. He did give up 11 base runners, but 6 1/3, 3 earned runs. Flexen actually gets the quality start. And then you had the bullpen behind him pitching pretty well, but Rangers get the 3-1 win in game one. Festa gets the win. Kirby Yates, 24 saves on the season and 25 opportunities, 125 ERA. Top of the order, Simi, Seager, Garcia supply all the offense that's needed. Great game one win. Andrew Heaney, of course, 5 innings, 1 earned run, and an outstanding performance by the bullpen. And again, in game two, the bullpen, once again, I mean, look, helped out by a Travis Jankowski amazing play. I mean, let's just be real about it. Janko doesn't make that catch. The bullpen doesn't look nearly as good in game two, but the bullpen gave up no earned runs in game two. So the bullpen throws up zeros. We got, 9 innings of shutout baseball today from the bullpen. We got to give them their flowers, y'all. We got to give them their props. 9 shutout innings from the bullpen and 10 Ks in 9 shutout innings. And only 3 walks from the bullpen in those 9 innings. I mean, what an incredible day for them. You got to give them some major props. Of course, Langford and all the offensive guys, Jankowski with the game-saving play, going to get a lot of the love. The bullpen came to play today. The bullpen got to be among the players of the game collectively, 100%. Let me keep going here. The attendance was bad. No way 2,000 people were actually in attendance for that game one. That game one was empty. It looked like there were a few more people for game two. And I don't know what it is, the acoustics at, you know, Guaranteed Rate, the White Sox field. But when that ball was hit in the bottom of the 9th, the one that Janko robbed, it sounded loud, but it looked like there was hardly anybody there. Maybe there was just a big crowd around the camera, around home plate, where they're picking up the noise. But I mean, maybe, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here. It sounded loud when the ball was hit. And then I look out and there's like nobody out in left field really. And then Janko makes the incredible catch. But Yeah, I mean, look, I wouldn't be really caring to go watch the White Sox if I was a fan in Chicago. If I was doing right on White Sox, first of all, it would be really tough to get on the live every day. It just would be. But I would not be trying to go pay any money to go down there and enjoy a game. The tickets are probably really cheap. But even if I lived in Chicago, I would not be trying to go downtown, spend money at the ballpark, spend money on a ticket, spend time on a team that's clearly trying to lose. And the White Sox can't even get a top 10 pick this year based on CBA stuff. But look, I wouldn't be wasting my hard-earned money on the Sox. I just wouldn't be. Let me keep going. We have Urania should never be anything but a long middle reliever. I love Urania in the middle relief role, in the long relief role. I love it. I think that that is where they would like to see him stay. I think you can use him as a spot starter. Just know you're probably only getting 4 or 5 innings. I think I would say more than anything, like the 4 or 5 innings thing, like the 4 innings especially seems to be his sweet spot. He's done this a couple times recently, going 4 strong shutout innings in relief. Maybe it's the 4 inning thing. You get 5, you get 6. And honestly, that is where Urania got into trouble in his last start. I think they threw him out there for the 6th inning. And he ended up giving up a home run. But look, in those first 4 innings, he's actually been pretty solid. So Jose Urania has been huge. I know he's not getting a lot of press, but he has been a huge contributor for the Rangers. We got to show some love to some of these unknowns, so to speak, outside of Rangers fandom. Not a lot of people care about Urania, any of these names. Of course, we do because we're fanatics. But at the same time, Urania has been incredibly solid down the stretch. And when you look at his numbers, his last 7 games, last 15 games, let's look at the last 15 and last 30, 3.86 ERA in his last 15 games. I mean, anything under 4, you would have been pumped with from Urania. On the season, Jose Urania's got a 3.80 ERA. I mean, again, at the beginning of the year, if you said Jose Urania is going to give you 3.80 ERA for a 1-year deal, absolutely. He's not a guy that's going to strike out a ton, but he just has a knack for getting outs. And this is back-to-back. So his last 8 innings, 4 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks. Last 2 outings, he's thrown a combined 8 innings. So love what Urania did today for the Rangers, no doubt. All right, let's start moving towards tomorrow. And then we'll kind of give a little preview for the weekend. But we're going to do that more after tomorrow's game. So let's go ahead and check it out. And if you got anything else that you want to throw in there from the doubleheader, I would definitely love to get to it right after we preview the matchup for tomorrow. So I'll check comments and I'll check the chat again if you want to talk anything doubleheader today. Anything doubleheader, I really, really would like to get to that at the very end of the show. So hang tight. We'll probably get through this pretty quick. Thursday's game tomorrow is going to be a 1:10 start Texas time, 11:10 out here in Vegas for me. Evo throwing against Nastrini, if I'm saying that correctly. Look, Evo against the White Sox as we preview the opposing lineups and how they fared. We've got a few guys that have faced Evo. We've got Lopez, Nicky Lopez with 15 ABs. Lopez actually hits Evo pretty well, 7 for 15. Robert hits 375. This is an 8 career at bats. Robert, 2 home runs against Evo. Let's see. Sheets, 0 for 5. Robinson, the catcher, 0 for 2. Vaughn, 2 for 6. The first baseman. Benintendi looks like is 1 or 2 for 9. Baldwin, the second baseman, 0 for 3. So kind of a mixed bag, but Lopez and Robert, the two guys to look out for. Vaughn, maybe you throw in the mix there. And the Texas lineup has not faced Nastrini, the White Sox starting pitcher, probable starter. Nastrini has had a few interesting games. His last 3, he threw 4 1/3 against Boston, 1 earned run, 5 walks, though. So he was tightrope in that whole game. Nastrini, the probable starter for the White Sox tomorrow, was against the Red Sox. Against Milwaukee, 4 innings, 3 hits, 3 walks. Against Toronto, 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 walks. So look, this dude gives up at least 3 walks a game. So the Rangers are probably going to have some base runners tomorrow. The question is going to be, are they going to take advantage? But Nastrini, last 7 games, he's only started 6 games this year, 8.39 ERA, 23 earned runs and 25 nearly innings pitched. This should be a game that the Rangers bats can't get open. or can get going, I should say. Let's see, from an outsider, this is a TikTok comment. From an outsider, just looking at your wins and losses, what's happened with the team since the World Series? Great question. So what's happened with the team is they had a number of injuries out the gate. So their best, one of their best players, Josh Young, third baseman, got injured. What was it, like seventh game of the year, something crazy, was out for nearly 2.5 months. He was like hitting over 400 the first week of the season. Great start to the year. That was not ideal. Rangers have had a rash of pitching injuries. They've also had some guys really regress from last year. So Adolis Garcia, pretty big regression from last year. And a lot of people I know remember Dolly's run in the postseason. He just hasn't been that guy this year for a number of different reasons. And you've seen some other guys like Jonah Heim regress. So if you're not really well-read on the Rangers' downfall, if you will, this year, a lot of regression from players that had career years last year and injuries. I would say those are probably the two big things. Aaron, appreciate this in advance. So for the weekend series, just to kind of look ahead a little bit, Rangers, of course, will get right back at it on Friday, and they'll be hosting the Oakland A's. So no announced starters for the weekend series, but the Rangers, they haven't hosted the A's since Langoliers went off. I think that was in April or something like that. So hopefully they don't let that dude beat them again. The A's are 58-75 coming into this series at Globe Life. And then the Rangers, 62-71. Let's go ahead, since we can't preview that. Let's just look at what the A's have been doing over their last 10. So the A's are 5-5, and they're actually on a three-game winning streak over their last three games. So the A's coming in with a little bit of momentum. They play Cincinnati tomorrow before heading to Arlington for a weekend set. Look, the A's are always one of those just pesky teams that manage to figure it out and get wins where they probably shouldn't. So I'd love to think the Rangers could handle the A's, win 2 out of 3 or sweep. But the reality is Oakland always seems to be causing us some problems. So I'm definitely not going to hold my breath. That would be incredible. I hope it happens. But funky stuff always seems to happen when we play the A's. I don't know. Just fluky, funky stuff just always seems to rear its head when we're playing Oakland, whether it's at home or in Oakland. So I don't know. I'm not sure what to expect this series. I think the Rangers will probably take 2 out of 3 if you had to have me make a prediction right now. But I sure hope that they can sweep tomorrow. Be great if they could sweep the A's. Just go on a little 6-game winning streak here. I'm just looking for positive momentum at the end of the year, y'all. That's got to be what the Rangers focus on. Look, if you make it interesting with the standings at the end, great. And the Rangers right now, by the way, 9 games out with, 30 or 28 left to go. Is that right? This was game 133. Tomorrow's game 134. So you played 133 games. You've got 29 left. Look, it's not impossible. 9 games is a lot to make up in 29. You really got to have the Astros go on a losing streak. Now, look, the good news is the Astros do play Kansas City coming up, and I think they have the 29th, so they actually have a 4-game set with the Royals coming up. So that's good news, because the Kansas City could beat up on them a little bit. You never know. But the Astros, they have a comfortable lead right now, and the wild card doesn't really seem to be a factor. So let's just have a good rest of 2024. That's got to be what we focus on right now. Somebody says Yankees winning the World Series. Look, it wouldn't shock me if the Yankees had a good run in October. I just don't think they have enough pitching. And I'm not trying to be a hater, but I just don't think the Yankees have quite enough pitching. So I'm not picking them to win it all. Wouldn't shock me if Aaron Judge and Soto just take over. But I just don't know if they have enough pitching. I know they got Nestor and, of course, Gerrit Cole and Gill and all those guys. Are they going to do great in October? I don't know. I know that Aaron Judge is not human, and I know Juan Soto is having probably the best career year of his life. I mean, he's doing amazing things in a contract year, but I don't know if they have the pitching to go all the way. Not trying to be a hater, just giving you my honest take on that. Now, John, the Skeens game was going well 10-3. Then the Cubs came back late from 7 runs down, beat them 12-10. Now, I haven't been watching any other game really tonight except just box score check-in, so I didn't even know Skeens was going tonight, but I'll take a look at that game real quick while I'm on the live. So Skeens didn't get the loss, so clearly the bullpen ended up blowing that one. 6 runs in the 9th inning. My goodness. So the Pirates were up 10. Wow. So the Pirates were up. Let me do the quick math on this. They were up 10-8 in the ninth. They were up 10-5 in the eighth, and they were up 10-3 in the seventh. And Skeens gave up 3 earned runs. That's embarrassingly bad for the bullpen. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. Good comeback win for the Cubs, though. He does deserve better. Aaron, I thought the same exact thing as I was finishing that last sentence. Like, dude deserves way better, but he's going to be stuck with them, unfortunately, for a while. And they actually were kind of middle of the pack this year. So it's not like they're getting like a crazy high draft pick. Now, if we check Tankathon for MLB, great website name, by the way, Tankathon. Great website name. Pittsburgh, actually, I lied. They've lost a lot lately. They've lost 3 in a row, 62-71, same record as the Rangers. So they're actually in the top 5 in the lottery right now. So they have a 7.48% chance to get the number 1 pick. Maybe they're just going to go ahead and keep stacking. But yeah, I feel bad for Paul. I really do. Hopefully they start figuring out that they're going to need to go spend some money on some free agents. That's just not been the Pittsburgh style, though. It really hasn't. So I think he may be stuck on a bad team. I don't know if he's going to be able to even get traded, because you just think the Pirates are probably going to sit on that unless somebody's willing to just give them a king's ransom. But they got to start adding some players around him. Pittsburgh, look, I don't know how desirable a destination Pittsburgh is. I've never been to the city, and I'm not going to try and hate on Pittsburgh. But look, the optics, I'd probably rather go play other places if I was a player, unless Pittsburgh is offering me just a ton of money. I'm not going to lie to you. I'd rather go play in Texas, Florida. I'd rather go play in a number of different places than Pittsburgh. If I'm a major league player, I'm trying to go to the places that don't have state income tax. I'm trying to go somewhere warm. That's just me. Or I'm trying to go somewhere where they pay me a ton of money. And I don't know if the Pirates are ponying up. Now, I've never been to, is it PNC still? PNC Park? I've never been there, but Pittsburgh does appear to be a beautiful stadium. You got the bridge in the background. Look, I play MLB The Show, so all the stadiums I haven't been to, I kind of get my fix playing MLB The Show, which is crazy realistic with how they have built out some of those stadiums. Love it. But I would love to get out to the East Coast and go to some of those ballparks. So go to the Phillies, go to Pittsburgh. I'd love to get to Yankee Stadium, Red Sox. I have not been to a lot of those ballparks on the East Coast. Would love to get to go. Really the only ballpark I've been to on the East Coast, I've been to Miami. My wife and I went out there, watched a couple of Marlins games. I don't even think the Rangers were playing them. We just went out, watched a couple of Marlins games, and enjoyed Miami. But look, I think it is a beautiful ballpark. I feel like there's probably some other destination guys probably want to go to beyond Pittsburgh. And maybe the biggest reason is it just doesn't appear like they're willing to pay up and overspend a little bit. Now, look, I don't have a whole lot else. I'm going to check the MLB headlines. And y'all, I love to see Travis Jankowski as the top headline. Absolutely love to see Travis Jankowski, top headline. I mean, look, beyond Ohtani. Ohtani always is front page, him and his dog right now. The freaking dog gets more time than a number of other major league teams. Drives me crazy. I don't love all of the Dodgers just love fest constantly that MLB puts out there, but I get it. Ohtani's the best player in the game. They've got a number of incredibly talented players, Freeman, Betts. I totally get it. But literally every other day, if you go to MLB.com, you're going to see the Dodgers on there. So I've just kind of come to peace with that. But I do love that on the right side, after you look at the Dodgers and Shohei and his dog, then you've got a once in a lifetime play. Jankowski prevents walk-off homer with robbery over the wall. And I just get chills. I'm rewatching the Jankowski play right now. I'm not trying to be overdramatic. It gives me chills thinking about the play, hearing it was actually a great call by Dave Raymond. I really feel like sometimes it's kind of hit or miss with him. And I overall like Raymond's broadcasting. I think I'd rather listen to the radio guys, if I'm being 100% honest. I like the radio guys better than the Valley guys. But I actually thought Raymond had a pretty good call on that. It really did just give me the chills instantly watching it on replay, watching it live. Loved it. Loved it. Ohtani bobblehead quote. Aaron, can you find that for me while I wrap things up here on the show, if possible? I don't know if I'm going to be able to get that on the fly here. If you can either summarize it or find it for me, I would love to get that and talk about it on the live here, what we're missing out with that Ohtani bobblehead. Let me see here. Anything else? Corbin Carroll slams D-backs to victory with stunner versus the Mets. D-backs are having a great follow-up year after losing the World Series. It's very, very Texas Rangers-esque, is it not? Texas Rangers, of course, 2010, got whomped at exactly the same 4-1 outcome that the Diamondbacks had done to them last year by our Rangers. And now you see them coming in strong again the very next season. Could the Diamondbacks spoil, surprise some of these big teams once again? Personally, I know I picked Dodgers to win the World Series. I'm cheering for the Diamondbacks in the NL. I hope the Diamondbacks can go all the way. Look, I'd love to see them get it done. I really would, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see if they can pull it off like the Rangers did, make it to the World Series in back-to-back years. I don't know. Time will tell on them, no doubt. Q means line. There are videos on Facebook MLB page of a mile-long Q by fans for a chance to get his bobblehead tonight. Wow. Okay. So apparently in this headline for Ohtani, he delivers strike for first pitch, then Ohtani homers and swipes two bags. Now he sits at 42 homers and 42 steals, and he is trying to be the first, become the first MLB player to hit 50 home runs and get 50 steals in a season. I mean, this dude's otherworldly. Judge and Ohtani are freaking otherworldly. They just are. About 4 hours before first pitch, estimated. Oh, I'm watching the video right now, Aaron. I'm watching the video. That is insane. That's insane. Wow. Okay. And Ohtani, he throws out the first pitch and his dog runs in the first pitch to him. Look, if you're a Dodgers fan, you love this. You got to love this if you're a Dodgers fan. I mean, look, anybody else, if you're a fan of any other team, it's a little cringy and too much. But if you're a Dodgers fan, look, if Josh Smith brought his dog out, I'd be all over that. I mean, I'd be, oh, that's so awesome. That's so great. But look, it's the Dodgers, and they're all over the place. They are. Look, Aaron, we gotta give them respect. They know how to market their players. Did you see the Angels getting this much love? No, you didn't, and they could have been. It's crazy. The Angels had the best, I mean, I think two of the best players at the time when Ohtani first broke into the league. And you did absolutely nothing with it. I mean, Artie Moreno should sell the team on that principle alone. You had Trout and Ohtani in their primes, and you couldn't make the playoffs. And that is one of the biggest fails in Major League Baseball history, in my opinion. That's not hyperbole to me. You had Ohtani and Trout, and you could never make the playoffs. It's ridiculous. Rocker did pretty well today. I did get some updates on him. Obviously, didn't watch live with all the Rangers action going on, but Rocker takes the express to success in AAA debut. Kumar Rocker on the MILB.com front page. You love to see that. He struck out 10 today, and he lowered his ERA to 0.36 between the minors' two highest levels. So Kumar Rocker, look, I know that I was down on his chances of making it all the way to the big leagues by the start of next year. If the dude keeps pitching like this, it could happen. It could happen. I didn't think that it was going to, and I didn't know how he was going to respond moving up to AAA. It is a more advanced level of minor league ball, but clearly Rocker just freaking killing it. I continue in 0.36 ERA. You got to be kidding me with that. If Rocker is this good next year and it plays in the major leagues, you're talking about an outstanding rotation. Talking about an absolutely outstanding rotation. So, look, I am very, very pumped about 2025. It's going to be a good season for the Rangers. Let me check TikTok here. Ah, Finn, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in if you're still around. Game was good tonight. We did get the dub. By the way, and I think some of y'all know, I coach a little football, coach a little baseball. So it's football season right now. Had a little scrimmage tonight. Got the win. This is a second year in a row getting the win in our kind of annual before the season gets going inner squad scrimmage. So it's fun. Love football. Baseball is probably my first love, but I love football and I love getting to coach it too. So thanks for tuning in, buddy. I appreciate you. I was at that Diamondbacks Mets game. Corbin was insane tonight. Hey, that is awesome. Awesome. Very cool. I'm sure that that was incredible to watch. That's right. No Walker, Marte, or Moreno right now. And the Diamondbacks are still doing this well. Diamondbacks are my NL team. I am cheering for them to win it all. In the AL, I don't really want to see any of the AL teams win it. Orioles, I wouldn't mind them winning it. It's been a while since they won it all. So I would say the people I want to win, Diamondbacks and Orioles, one of the two. Dodgers are the team that I think is going to be coming out of the NL, but I'd love to be wrong. Would absolutely love to be wrong. All right, guys, I got to get out of here. It's getting late. I got an early morning tomorrow, quick turnaround. We love going live, talking about the Rangers, making time, but we love sleep too. And I'm sure some of y'all watching in Texas do as well. So we're going to call it a night, but we will be back tomorrow going through the post-game analysis after the day game, which should get done at around, what, 3:30-ish, 4 o'clock Texas time. I think we'll be able to get a live in the afternoon tomorrow. I know people are working and stuff, but just being real, I would love to have a little bit of a night off. So we'll probably knock out right on Rangers Live tomorrow sometime in the afternoon. So hope you can join us. If not, watch us on the replay. Appreciate y'all. If you're not following, hit that follow or subscribe button. Keep growing this good community that we got going here. Great people talking Rangers baseball. I love it. And hey, somebody you know loves the Rangers, loves baseball, please share this video with them. Tell them about the channel. Tell them about the account. I would greatly appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Wednesday night, what little is left. A great Thursday and a weekend ahead. We'll be hoping to hang out with you after the game tomorrow and after some of the A's games this coming weekend at Globe Life. And as I always say to end every show, God bless.